Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. There is currently, in our shrinking modern world, a meeting of cultures, nations, races, and religions on a scale unprecedented in history. In this jet age, we are no more than 24 hours away from any spot on the earth. Television brings into our living rooms the coronation of a pope, the burning of a Buddhist monk, and a Muslim ceremony conducted by political leaders. That was the opening of a chapter in Paul E. Little's book, Know Why You Believe. And the interesting part about this book, which is a good one to have in your library, by the way, it was written 46 years ago in 1967, long before the internet, long before cable television. It's astounding to think how much the world has shrunk since that time, since the late 60s. We just completed a series through 1 Peter, and I believe that to be a very, very relevant book to our time and our culture and our age because of the persecution speaks of, and I think the persecution that is around our world and even in our own country at this time. Our faith and our endurance is being tested and challenged each and every day in our workplaces, in our education halls, and in our homes through the internet and through television as well. There is a battle that's all around us. Do you realize that before Darwin's theory, underlying theory of evolution, when it was presented in 1859, there was no other acceptable answer for the creation of the world other than the story in Genesis? At that time when it was presented, then it gave the scoffers an opportunity to have an answer back to the Bible. But until that time, there was none. And now it's being taught in our schools as truth rather than the tale that it is. Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience so that in the thing which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. And we as elders and pastors of grace of this church need to equip you with the understanding of truth that's needed to give that defense. The word defense in that passage is apologia, which we get our word apologetics. And apologetics is a reasonable defense of something. And for us, it's a reasonable defense of our faith, yet we are to do that not offensively, but with gentleness and respect so that we might win people to Christ, but at the very least, they'd be put to shame by the slander they bring us with no foundation of it. Keep a good conscience. In this world of confusing and seemingly similar religions, it is important for us to understand Christianity because there are people who think, aren't all religions pretty much the same? Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this time and thank you for this place and these people that have gathered together under your care and under your teaching. And Father, as we look into truth, may you help us. May you help shape our minds, our very actions, our thoughts to conform to the image of your Son, that we, like him, would follow the plan that you have for us and do what is good and pleasing in your sight. May this be a part of that time and that plan, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. The basis for launching this little series we've got, we've called Apology Accepted. And it's kind of like a little play with words. And Roel and I sat in the office the other day just kind of bouncing things off because we just finished 1 Peter. We're going to start 2 Peter in April. But we got Easter coming up and we have Palm Sunday. And so I didn't want to start something and then have to break up. So we thought a little mini-series on something about apologetics. Because if someone asked you to give your testimony, would you be able to do that? And the simple answer for everyone should be yes. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you should know how you came to know Christ. If someone asks you the question, will you go to heaven? You should say yes and be able to tell them why. Because that's the answer the world needs. We shy back away from that for some reason, I don't know, because if we come to Christ, someone took the time to tell us about Christ so that our hearts would be changed. And we have the opportunity to do that to others. We just have fear. We feel like we don't know what we're doing or don't know what we did, and so it's left to the professionals to do that. It's not. It's upon every single one of us, and I think it's more important now in this age because time is getting near. Every day we get nearer to the time of Christ's return. Each day we lose opportunities to reach people for Christ. Our nation is a melting pot of nations and peoples and religions, and the fact that you can choose to believe in a religion and reject others is tolerable in our country. Where in other parts of the world, the act of not following the national religion, especially if you follow Christianity, could cost you your life. With all that's out there, the question is Christianity unique among other world religions or just one of the paths that lead to God? And there are many people who believe that's true. Does a sincere Muslim, Buddhist, or Hindu, or Jew worship the same God as we, but just under a different name? Or even more bluntly, is Jesus really the only way to God? I think it's important to explore that. So first, we're going to start by diffusing the emotional bomb. When a Christian asserts that he or she believes that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, and apart from him, there is no salvation, because that's what the Bible says, I believe it to be true, they are not saying that they think or that Christians think that they are better than anyone else. That's not what that statement means. Although that is not how Christians are perceived, we have closed rules in our little churches, and if we could only agree about the rules about God apart from Christ, then we could probably all get along, but that is the fundamental issue. Christ is at the very heart of God. Peter stood before the council in Jerusalem and about Jesus said this, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Not can be saved, must be saved. We believe this not because this is our rule, but because Jesus taught it. He said, in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's why he was killed. That's why he was put on the cross. Because he claimed to be God. He claimed it to be the only gateway, the only portal by which we could come to heaven. A Christian cannot be faithful to Christ and affirm anything else or accept anything else as being possibly true. If Christ is who he says he is, then we have the authoritative word of God on the subject. Do we need anything else? If Christ is God and there is no other Savior, then obviously he is the only way to God the Father, and no committee, no vote, or no action can change that. We are all under laws. We talked about authority and submission during 1 Peter. That is common ground that we can all accept. We are all made in God's image, all of mankind. That's what he stated. But those who accept Christ, who accept his testimony, then have a relationship with the Father, then become God's children. But some laws are socially determined. Fines for speeding or driving through a stop sign or jaywalking are determined socially in different counties, and they may be different prices. They could be $25, could be $5, or they could be abolished at all. You can just do whatever you want to do. Socially determined. Some laws, like physical laws, are above man's influence. If you picked up the paper and said the city council has determined that on Thursday between 1 and 2 o'clock, the laws of gravity will be suspended, would you go to the top of the Genesee Towers building between 1 o'clock, 1:05 and jump off to test that? I don't think so. Because it doesn't matter if they voted unanimously, it doesn't change anything. Some laws are law because they cannot be changed. Just as there are physical laws, there are spiritual laws as well. God's revelation of himself through Christ. Spiritual truth that we have to hold on to and understand, whether we can explain it or not. Believing on Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as the only means of reconciling man to God. The shedding of blood that had to be done to satisfy the penalty of sin. That was determined by God, not by man. We didn't determine that. Man has no right to assume a superior posture. Why? Because of what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God determined how man could be reconciled to himself. God determined the gift that was there, and God gives the gift, and we can't even create ourselves. We can only receive it. If the spiritual law of evangelism, which I think is the Great Commission, is like, it's like T. Niles said. He says, evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. Evangelism is just telling one sinner to another sinner where to find hope. Hope is not in those things that are just out there hoping that you're going to find it, but knowing. The Word of God says time and time again, know that I am God. Know that you are saved. Know that you are loved. It's based upon knowledge. In reality, it all comes down to a question of truth. Facts are facts, and believing something doesn't make it true any more than not believing something makes it false. It's not based upon our opinion or our perception of something. In matters of religion, the basic question is this: is it true? And as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to examine everything and say, is it true? There's a great commendation to the Bereans, because they examined the word daily to see if what Paul and his companions were saying was true. We are called to, you should make tons of notes, scrutinize it, making sure that I'm not, you know, because, hey, I got AARP and I can just go off the edge. You've heard about the fiscal edge. You know, there's a mental edge that I can go off to at any time. Check it out, people. I hate to say it, but don't trust me. Entirely. Mostly. Okay, you can. Take, for instance, the deity, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christianity affirms these as facts and at the heart of our faith. If you don't believe in these, you're not a Christian. Okay, let's face it. That's the truth of it. If you're still thinking about that, well, you haven't made that commitment yet, because these are things we have to commit to. Islam, on the other hand, acknowledges Jesus but not denies his deity, his death, his resurrection. On these crucial points, one of these two views is wrong. They both cannot be true, no matter how sincere both are believed, or no matter how many people there are that believe it. One has to be false. The law of non-contradiction states that a thing cannot be both A and not A at the same time in the same sense. Now, I can be a father, I can be a husband, I can be a friend. There's no contradiction. But I cannot be a husband to Luann and a husband of Irene so-and-so somewhere else. Not legally, by the way. We cannot be the same thing. Jesus cannot be deity and not deity at the same time, because that's a contradiction. Now, Jesus was fully God and fully human. That's not a non-contradiction. That's not a contradiction, because it's just two natures of Jesus in one. He's not saying he is fully human and not fully human at the same time. That's a contradiction. And there are people that want you to believe that the law of non-contradiction doesn't exist. It's not true, because things do. You can have the same thing, and those people are probably on medication. Many people, I'm sorry, that was not very kind at all, was it? Many people think that all religions are pretty much the same, and that there are many ways to God, to heaven. They are essentially the same, but slightly different in their terms. Is that true? Many think that all you need to do is follow the golden rule, which is in some form in every religion that's out there. For people in faith, in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. We always hear, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But even in the King James, it's not phrased that way. But you know, that phrase was in existence a couple hundred years before Jesus was, with Confucius. It's been around. It's not attributed to the Bible. We don't hold on to that, but we think if we just do that, if I just treat others the way I want to be treated, then that's what Christ wants me to do. Man, you're falling way short. God takes it all. Jesus took it a whole other level. Man's problem has never been not knowing what he should do, but lacking the power to do what he knows he should do. Even Paul says, the things I know I should do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Who can save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ. Almost think that Christ had a cape and just came in there and just plummeted all the way in our little minds. Christ raised the ethical level and made the requirements higher. He didn't just say, tolerate your enemies. He said, love your enemies. He said, any man who looks upon a woman with eyes of lust has committed adultery. You don't have to commit the act. You've already committed in your heart. And on and on. If you dislike your brother in your heart and hate him in your heart, you've committed murder. He raised the bar. Didn't lower it. Didn't accept it. He revealed it to us. Many world religions are a do to get. Christianity is a do because it's done. Christ did it. We accept it. And then we live it. We do because we have received. We don't do because we want to receive. Any Christian who is asked the question, do you know you're going to go to heaven, should answer an emphatic yes and know why. But do you know why? Because you believe in Jesus Christ. And because he said so. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the Father because of him, not because of what we do. We do because we have received from him already. Get that picture in your head, because that sets us apart from everything else. What makes Christianity stand alone is that its fundamental truth is that God is seeking man and reaching down to help him. In other religions, it's a matter of man seeking after and struggling with God to find approval and acceptance, something they can never be assured of. Here's the truth. You're never good enough. You're never pure enough. You're never right enough. You're never strong enough. Need I go on? We're not enough. But it's not about our being enough. It's about God being enough. And he is more than enough. It's not centered in our goodness, but in Christ's goodness. And it's more than enough. In Buddhism, the ultimate goal is nirvana, the extinction of desire. Buddha taught that all pain and suffering comes from desire. Accomplished through desire can be overwhelmed by the eightfold path to enlightenment, achieving total nothingness. It's like taking a drop of water and putting it into the ocean. We just get sucked into everything else. We just become oblivious. That's the goal. Hinduism also seeks nirvana, but it means something different. Being joined with Brahm, the all-pervading force of the universe, accomplished through reincarnation, animal, insect, or human being. Karma determines whether or not you go up or down the ladder. You know, don't do well, you go back. Do well, you just keep achieving, going until you are joined in with that whole thing. In Islam, heaven is a paradise of wine, women, and song achieved by living a life in which, ironically, one abstains from wine, women, and song. The very things that we reward with in paradise. But in each case, there is no assurance of heaven. There's only the hope of, but never knowing. Only the encouragement to work on that path so that you may be rewarded. There is no assurance because in these religious systems, salvation depends upon the individuals gaining enough merit to arrive. To think that all who believe in God can unite regardless of what they call God, fail to recognize that the term God means nothing apart from the definition given. In contrast to other religions, only Christ, not Muhammad, not Confucius, not Buddha, etc., claim to be God. He's the only one that claimed to be God. They were all just claimed to be prophets. He stands alone. He made himself the focal point of his teachings. The central and crucial question from Christ is this: who do you say I am? Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16, says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say is Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We think the word tolerance is more of our time, last few years, the buzzword that's going around. But in my research this week and in my readings, I find that specifically relating to Christians, it has been around for several decades about tolerance. It's just gaining more momentum. As Christians, it would be hard to agree to all the points of view of other world religions, agreeing that they are all equal when they are mutually contradictory. Remember the law of non-contradiction? Jesus cannot be God and not God at the same time in the same circumstance. The position of Christianity, the one that we hold to, is John 1:1, verse 2, at 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Clearly stated. Sometimes, most times, misunderstood. Christ, Jesus Christ, is the uncreated Son of God, the eternal, the Alpha and Omega, has no beginning, has no end. And if people believe that he is who he says he is, the one that can forgive your sins because he died on the cross for you and rose on the third day to conquer death, then you can be a Christian. You have to accept all that in its entirety. You cannot diminish it. You cannot diminish his deity. You cannot take part of what God says and leave the parts out that affect your life that you just don't want to kind of give up. You have to understand it all. And so if our faith centers in on the belief in Christ that he is the only one that claimed to be God, what do other religions say about him? And that's, in your outline today, I made it very simple for you, but there's a link, a web link in there that if you go to it spells out all of these religions that are practiced around the world. And I just took some of them. But he shares what the view of Christ is. It's really fascinating to me. But I'll share a few with you. And Judaism rejects the idea of Jesus being God or a person of the Trinity or a mediator to God. Judaism holds that Jesus is not the Messiah, arguing that he had not fulfilled the messianic prophecies. According to conservative Judaism, Jews who believe Jesus is the Messiah have crossed the line out of the Jewish community. That's why Jews for Jesus make it their mission to reach other Jesus, to recognize Jesus Yeshua as the Messiah. Reform Judaism, the modern progressive movement, states this: for us in the Jewish community, anyone who claims that Jesus is their Savior is no longer a Jew and is an apostate, which means false. Worse than false. In Islam, Jesus is known as Isa and is one of God's highest ranked and most beloved prophets, specifically sent to guide the children of Israel. You probably didn't know that Islam recognizes Jesus, did you? As we think about Islam in a whole different way. Remember that back in our teaching last year that through Abraham, through Isaac came the nation of Israel, and through Ishmael came Islam. These two brothers became two nations, two different religions that are at war even today. Unlike Christian writings, the Quran does not describe Jesus as the Son of God, but as one of the five major human messengers or prophets sent by God throughout history to guide mankind. It also states that Jesus' message to mankind was originally very similar to that of the other Islamic prophets, from Adam to Muhammad, but that it was subsequently distorted by early Christians. Jesus was one of the great prophets of Allah, like Moses, and the last one before Muhammad. But he was not the son of Allah, but he was Allah's Messiah, and he will eventually return in the faith of the Islam. And he made miracles such as curing people or raising them from the dead. Jesus was not really crucified, however. The Jews crucified an image of him, or maybe someone else. If you change the man, you change the faith, you change what he says. You can't take part and reject the rest. Buddhism has no particular view on Jesus. I believe Mormons are very moral people, lovely people. I have a lot of dear friends who are Mormons, but I believe they are lost, and here's why. They believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the only begotten. So far, so good. From the birth of Christ to his death, they've got it pretty much spot on. But Jesus himself, in his resurrected form, created the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Journal of Discourses says he was married at Cana. Here's the kicker. That Jesus was born in heaven as the spirit child of Elohim, the Heavenly Father, by one of the Father's wives, and that Jesus' brother was Lucifer, who became Satan. Deity? Sure, but Jesus is one of many gods. In fact, if you achieve enough on this earth, you can be your own god of your own planet. Look deep into it, people. Just because they use the word Jesus does not mean it's the same Jesus. Atheists think that Jesus was not God at all. Some even doubt he ever existed. Agnostics, which means they don't know, they have no opinion. Jesus may be God, or he may be a normal man, or he may be an alien. The Baha'i faith consider Jesus to be a manifestation of God, who are a series of personages who reflect the attributes of the divine into the human world for the progress and advancement of human morals and civilization. That's pretty general, isn't it? Christian Science: Christ is a divine idea, and his blood doesn't cleanse us. Life, truth, and love constitute the triune person called God. God the Father / Mother, Christ, the spiritual idea of sonship, and divine science, or the Holy Comforter. Jesus is the human man, and Christ is the divine idea. Jesus was the offspring of Mary, self-conscious communion with God. Church of God International follows original teachings of Herbert W. Armstrong. God is a family. Christ is the only human saved so far and denies the Trinity. Hare Krishna. Jesus was one of their gurus, but Hare Krishna is their God. Hinduism, no need of a personal savior. Each one attains to becoming a god or attain cosmic consciousness, which we talked about a few minutes ago. The inner peace movement. Jesus, a man who reached Christ consciousness. God is impersonal. This kind of prompted my idea of this because we got the Jehovah Witnesses this week knocking on the door. And in a very nutshell, I mean, I just say, hey, I'm a Christian pastor. You know, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe he's the Son of God. Yeah, okay. Have a good day. Jehovah Witnesses, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Okay, he's not Jehovah God. He was the first son that Jehovah God brought forth. Jesus was created as an Archangel Michael first, lesser God, became only a good man, died, ceased to exist, recreated as Michael again in heaven. He's not God. Jehovah Witnesses deny the deity of Christ. Just because they use the name does not mean that we are like in thought. New Age movement. The New Age movement does not acknowledge sin or sin nature and eliminates the need for a savior. All one needs to do is to realize their own divine nature. Jesus is a man upon whom the Christ Spirit came at baptism and departed at the cross. The mind scientists. God is a principle. The peace mission movement sometimes states that Jesus is God, but leader George Baker also claimed to be God and the Holy Spirit. Philadelphia Church of God recently formed a breakaway group from the Worldwide Church of God. Carries on with the old Armstrongism teachings that denies the Trinity and God as a family. Scientology. All are gods, including Christ. Seventh-day Adventism. Believe Jesus is God, but also that he is Michael. He has a dual role. Christ did not complete the atonement at Calvary. Unity, or the Unity School of Christianity. See how, even using the word Christianity in there, Jesus was a perfect man indwelt by the Christ consciousness present in everybody. And then Unitarians, the Unitarian Universalist Association. Jesus was an extraordinarily good man only. In all those things and all those religions, Christ never claimed to be any of those. He did, however, claim to emphatically that he was God. And for that, he was put on a cross. I want my conclusion to be simple today, unlike other days. And I don't want you to be frankly writing down in the back by the door, there's this half piece of paper and two sides. Because I want you to hear, and it starts off with the sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, but it gives these statements in the scriptural references for Christ. Listen to these. Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Christ, means Savior. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, not a contradiction. Jesus Christ came from the Father. Jesus Christ is one with the Father. Jesus Christ forgives sins. Jesus Christ performed miracles. Jesus Christ came to bring life. Jesus Christ gives eternal life. Jesus Christ paid for our sin through his death on the cross. Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet still sinners. Jesus Christ gives us the right to become children of God. Jesus Christ has the power to keep us. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven with power, and he sent the Holy Spirit as our comforter and power to be his witnesses. These are the things that our word, our truth that we have, say about him. We don't have to homogenize him with other religions or other faiths. We don't have to be superior and above. We just have to be truthful, because I didn't write any of those things. But God did, and that's the side that we stand upon. What we believe must be true in order to be real. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There are many ways to Christ. But if we are to know the true and living God in our own personal lives, then it must be through Jesus Christ, the only way to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the power that it holds. And Father, I just ask, bring this to knowledge, this knowledge to our hearts and our minds and our lives, that we might, in humbleness and meekness, share the truth that we believe. That Jesus is the Christ, died for our sins, that we might have union with you. Father, one of the greatest hallmarks of Christ was his humility, even as being God. He didn't hold on to it in heaven, but he released himself that he might come to earth in a form in which we would understand. And even though rejected, for those of us who receive him, he gives us the right to be your sons and your daughters. It's a very simple, but a very powerful message. Father, give us the grace to live it out and share it with others. And we ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we ought to teach, everywhere we share his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by his grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forward in grace alone.
Father, help us go forward in grace alone, that you might receive all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.